The thrill of forging your own path is powerful. Nissan is bringing that thrill to our community in collaboration with the Black Effect Podcast Network to create The Thrill of Possibility, a community impact program and summit curated to support HBCU students in science, technology, engineering, art, and mathematics, or STEAM, and introduce them to exclusive opportunities. Nissan is committed to creating opportunity for the whole community and ensuring that Black excellence is a part of the new future of automotive. For more information about this program and how to apply, visit blackeffect.com/Nissan.
Hey, it's Bobby Bones. We had a great time recording this episode for you guys before heading to our iHeartRadio Music Festival in Las Vegas. Thanks to Hyundai for making this possible. Here's a little taste. Let's play the game where I list an artist and let's watch you sing one of their songs.
Yes.
Oh, boy, this is going to be
Black
tough.
Black Eyed Peas.
I got a feeling
good.
Tonight's going to be
okay, just
good.
Stop.
Good
hey, night. Just stop. Stop while you're
ahead. Lionel Richie.
You're beautiful.
That's no, James Blunt. No.
Okay.
Okay.
Lionel Richie. Hello.
No, that's Adele from the other side.
Similar-ish, but Lionel Richie was first. Pat Benatar. I give you the first word. Hit.
Hit me, baby, one more time.
Close.
Close. So close.
That's Britney Spears.
Oh, that is.
This episode brought to you by the first ever fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5.
With the Starbucks app, you can make a moment with a tap. So next time you order your morning coffee, treat someone else and make their day. To tell them you're grateful for them, or that you've got their back, or simply to say thanks. Share the moment. Download the Starbucks app.
This is Our American Stories, and we tell all kinds of stories here on the show. This next story is the story of Sean Pronger, and he was a journeyman NHL player who got his start on the hockey beat at a very young age, close to home. Here's Sean with his story.
To talk about the Gretzky chapter, we're going to have to go back to where it all began. Dryden, Ontario, Canada. I grew up in Dryden. Great town, loved living there. But if you don't like hockey and you don't like ice fishing, you probably aren't going to enjoy your time in Dryden because it is remote. It's 4 hours from the nearest city, 4 hours from Winnipeg, 4 hours from Thunder Bay. And it's winter there for about 8 to 9 months. And we're talking real winter when it's 30 to 40 below is the norm. And so there's not a lot to do if you don't enjoy those two activities. And fortunately for me, my brother loved playing and all of our buddies loved playing. So we would play on our driveway. We would play on the street in front of our house. And we had an outdoor rink a block away. And so we played hockey nonstop. But I think the real games were down in our basement at 161 St. Charles Street. Like every town in Canada or every city, Hockey Night in Canada was a big deal, and everything kind of just stopped. You know, all plans were made before or after Hockey Night in Canada on Saturday nights. And our house, the Pronger house, was no different. My mom and dad would come down there, my brother and I would settle in and watch the game, and every intermission or commercial break was time to play one-on-one right in front of my parents with our floor hockey sticks. And I was always a forward, Chris was always the defenseman. And I look back down and just laugh because my parents just watched basically their two sons just beat the shit out of each other while her and my dad would just kind of sit back and relax and enjoy the entertainment. And so we would, like I said, I was always forward. So then I would dump it into the fake, you know, into the living room corner. And he would go back to get it and I would ram his head into the drywall. And then we'd brawl and that, you know, just repeat that over and over for, I don't know, 8 or 9 years. And so every game, every Hockey Night in Canada, we would do that. And I was always Gretzky, and he was always Bossy. Even though Bossy wasn't a defenseman, Chris's favorite player was Mike Bossy growing up, and mine was Wayne Gretzky. And with Dryden being where it is, we were 4 hours from Winnipeg. A couple times a year, the Pronger family would load up the family truckster and head up to Winnipeg to watch the Jets play the Oilers in the old, good old Smythe division. Obviously, loved watching 99 play, and how he could see everything and see the game was just a real thrill. But one time we went up there, and the hotel, I'm not sure if my dad knew this or we just got lucky, but the hotel that he booked us in was the same hotel the Oilers were staying in. And I'll never forget, we're in the lobby, And we're just kind of hanging out down there. And we kind of look up, and there's Kevin Lowe and Wayne Gretzky. And my brother, just like they're old buddies, as we're walking past, he's like, "Hey, Kev," to Kevin Lowe. I find that hilarious now that, Kevin Lowe would then go on to sign my brother to a massive contract, and then he would ask to be traded a year later. Their history started early. So we're in the hotel, and we're kind of just like trying to figure out a way to go see more players, and I'm trying to figure out a way to see Gretzky. Gretzky's in the dining room, or the restaurant, and my brother and I were kind of peering around the corner, like checking him out. I think he was having breakfast with Glenn Sather. So I'm watching him thinking, well, I don't want to bother him when he's eating. This seems weird. And about that time, a guy came up behind me, and he had a jersey. He said, "Hey, kid, can you go get this autograph for my son?" And I thought, well, this is kind of weird, but, I've kind of taught, you don't say no to adults. So I walk over, interrupt his breakfast, and said, "Mr. Gretzky, would you mind signing this?" I could tell he was reluctant just because he's in a, restaurant, and years later I'd figure out why. He didn't want everybody else to think they needed to come up and get an autograph. But anyway, he signed it. He was a gentleman. He was great. I gave it to the guy, and it dawned on me years later that that guy probably wasn't getting it signed for his son. He was probably hawking it at a memorabilia shop, but lesson learned. So anyway, my passion for Oiler hockey and my the fact that Wayne Gretzky was my idol started at a very young age. And then if you fast forward years later, I'm now in my own career in the NHL. Actually, the way the year started, I was playing for the Penguins. I got traded at the end of 98.
But the play is set up in the slot where Pronger gets himself in a great position.
From the Anaheim Ducks, or Mighty Ducks back then.
Sean Pronger's a good kid.
And I finished the season with the Pittsburgh Penguins rather unceremoniously. And then before a game against the Washington Capitals, Kevin Constantine calls me in. And so I get there. He's like, "Sean, we're trading you to New York." And for some reason, I thought it was the Islanders. I'm like, "Okay." And he's like, "Yeah, so you're going to the Rangers." And I'm like, "The Rangers?" And I remember him looking at me like, "Why do you look so happy?" And I just thought, the Rangers? This is, Gretzky's on this team. Adam Graves, Kevin Stevens, Brian Leetch, John McClain, Mike Richter, Jeff Bookaboom, Ulf Samuelson, all these guys I grew up watching, right? I mean, obviously my idol, and then all these other guys that I grew up watching. And I'm like, this is going to be awesome. This is a rebirth for me. So I get traded. It was actually a blockbuster trade. It was Alexei Kovalev, Harry York, and $15 million. So the way I kind of matched up the trade was Alexei Kovalev for Peter Nedved, Harry York for Chris Tamer, and $15 million for Sean Pronger. It's just the way I kind of broke the trade down internally. And so it was, it was a big trade. So we meet the team in Buffalo, and I don't know what I was expecting, but I get to the rink, and Craig McTavish is the assistant coach, and he's like, "Hey, Prongs, welcome to New York. You're not playing tonight." And I'm like, here we go again. So anyway, I scratched my first game for the Rangers, which was a sign of things to come. But what was really, I was thrilled to go to New York. My childhood best friend from Dryden, Ontario, Chris Hancock, had been living there for a few years. And so it was like, all right, we got to make sure, you're two small town boys from Canada in the big city, things could get out of hand. So we had to draw some boundaries and make sure, okay, you got a job, you got a career you got to worry about. I got a career I got to worry about. Let's, make sure we pick our spots. So we tried to keep our distance, and I wasn't playing. So I'd maybe get in the lineup for, a couple shifts here and there, and then I'd be a healthy scratch for three games, get back in for a couple shifts, healthy scratch for a few games. And so I talked to the our strength and conditioning coach. I said, "I want you to drop a program that's going to keep me ready to play. As soon as I get my opportunity, I want to be ready to go, and I'm going to take it." And then it never came. And so it was just getting to the point where something's got to give, and I was just kind of getting so frustrated. And I think it was a game in Washington, actually, where I finally think I got my opportunity to do something. It was, I think we're in the second period. I'm in the lineup, which is great, and we're killing a 5-on-3. And Muckler, who's a coach, left me out there. And I'm like, okay, this is my chance. And I don't know why I thought that was my chance to go show them what I could do offensively, because we're killing a penalty 5-on-3. I don't know what I thought, but whatever, I was going to make my mark. And anyway, so I got the puck, and I'm ready. They fanned on the puck, and they gave it to me, and I'm kind of going at full speed. And there's two guys to beat, and the right place is dump it in. And then, you know, change, and hey, done your job. But I think, you know what, I can beat these guys. So what I was going to do was like split the D, go in, score, and then, you know, right off into sunset. Not the case. So I go to split the D, poke check. I keep going. They pass it up. Ding, ding, ding. 3-on-2. Actually, 4-on-2. Puck's in the back of our net. I'm on the bench, never to come off the bench.
Scoring Prager!
And now I'm sitting out for probably the next 3 or 4 or 5 games.
And when we come back, more with this journeyman hockey player's story here on Our American Stories.
Hey, you guys, this is Tori and Jenny with the 9021 OMG podcast. We have such a special episode brought to you by Nurtec ODT. We recorded it at iHeartRadio's 10th pole event, Wango Tango. Did you know that Nurtec ODT Remegipant 75 milligrams can help migraine sufferers still attend such an exciting event like Wango Tango? It's true. I had one that night and I took my Nurtec ODT and I was present and had an amazing time. Here's a little glimpse of our conversation with some of our closest friends. This episode was brought to you by Nurtec ODT Remegipant 75 milligrams. Life with migraine attacks can mean missing out on big moments with friends and family. But thankfully, Nurtec ODT Remegipant 75 milligrams is the only medication that is proven to treat a migraine attack and prevent episodic migraines in adults. So lively events like Wango Tango don't have to be missed.
Hey, everyone. It's Anahad O'Connor here, and I'll be your host on Chasing Sleep, a brand new podcast from Mattress Firm and iHeartRadio, where we'll uncover the sleep secrets that help us achieve some of the world's most extraordinary feats. As a health columnist, I'm passionate about learning and sharing how we can live and sleep better. And when it comes to sleep, we can all enhance it to reach our own goals. That's why on Chasing Sleep, we'll be chatting with people who live, work, and perform in some of the most incredible environments and see how they not only find quality sleep in unique circumstances, how they also use their sleep to perform at the highest level. Together, we'll discover how these impressive individuals approach sleeping well, from astronauts in space to wildlife photographers in the remote wilderness, and learn to get high-quality sleep in our own lives. Alongside the sleep experts at Mattress Firm, join me as we dive in, because ultimately, we all benefit from sleeping well. And when we do, we can all find new ways to live well, too. Listen to Chasing Sleep on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? It's Dramos. You may know me from The Recap on LA TV. Now I've got my own podcast, Life as a Gringo, coming to you every Tuesday and Thursday. We'll be talking real and unapologetic about all things life, Latin culture, and everything in between from someone who's never quite fit in. Listen to Life as a Gringo on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
And we're back with Our American Stories and the story of Sean Pronger. In his own words, let's return to the rest of this great sports story.
So now I'm skating in practice, getting crushed, and I go in to talk to Muckler. Actually, first of all, I asked Craig McTavish, I'm like, Mac T, what should I do? You know, like I want to play. I want to know what I need to do to stay in the line, to get in the lineup and stay in the lineup. He's like, Pronger, go talk to him. So I'm like, all right, I'll go talk to him. So I go in there, and John Muckler, I mean, I grew up watching this guy as part of the Oiler dynasty. Pretty intimidating dude. He's got that massive head of silvery white hair. He's got his feet up on the thing. I mean, if he had a scotch, it wouldn't be out of place if he had a scotch and a cigar, the way he was sitting there. And I'm like, hey, Coach Mux, you got a second? He's like, yeah, come on in. I'm like, hey, Coach, I just want to let you know, I love New York, love playing for the Rangers. I want to play more. What do I need to do to stay in the lineup or get in the lineup and stay in the lineup? And he goes off on a rant for about 15 minutes about how good the Edmonton Oilers were in the 80s at playing a give-and-go game, and how players today in the, you know, mid to late 90s could not play that style of game, and it was very frustrating to him. So he went off for about 15 minutes on that, and I remember walking out, and Mac T was walking by. I was just coming out. He's like, "So, how'd it go?" I'm like, "Honestly, I have no idea how it went, but he's a big fan of the way you guys played in the 80s, and so I kind of went back to my locker, and I'm just like, something's got to give. So I called my buddy, Herbie Hancock.
Hello?
Herbie, tonight, we're going out. And so, all right, we're going out, and we go to whatever local pub, which there is, more, you know, seven on every block. And so we pick one, go there, and, you know, we're having a great time. And New York's awesome. Having a great time. Here, a couple different spots we hit. And I remember walking into a bar. It was, I think, 1:30. And I was very concerned when the after-hours bars were, what time they open or what time, you know, when's that going to go down. So I wasn't ready to call it a night. It was 1:30, which is, you know, obviously last call is getting close, or so I thought. And I remember walking over to the bartender, and I'm like, "Excuse me, ma'am, what time do the after-hours bars open around here?" And she goes, "You mean after we close at 4:30? And I'm like, no, this will be good. So, of course, we stayed there till 4:30, shut that bar down. Luckily, it was only about a 20-minute walk back to my place, and then, you know, I got there at like 5 and had to get up at 7 to drive to practice, and which is not a big deal because the day before, I was actually practicing as the 8th defenseman, and so I wasn't too worried about how I felt when I got to practice. So I get up, obviously not feeling the best, but I'm like, all right, just deal with it. And so get to practice, grab my usual breakfast of champions, coffee with a double chocolate chip muffin, and I'm sitting there with kind of chocolate smeared all over my face, just taking it all in the locker room. And I'm like looking around, and something's a little off. So I'm like, it's kind of like when your wife, girlfriend, mother would rearrange the furniture, and I'm looking around. I'm like, do we got a new player? What is going on here? And so it was just the color scheme was out of whack. And so I'm looking, I'm like, no, all the name bars are the same, name tags. And I look over, and I'm like, in my stall, which is normally the yellow jersey, because I'm either on the fifth line or I'm on the fourth set of defensemen, it was a red jersey. And I'm like, that doesn't make sense. Because the red jersey is Gretzky's Lions jersey. And I'm like, well, obviously this is a mistake. So I grab the jersey, and I go to Mike Fogelin, who's the equipment guy. And I'm like, "Folks, you gave me the wrong color jersey." And I kind of throw the jersey at him. And he grabs it, and he throws it back. He goes, "No, I didn't." And I'm like, "What? Oh yeah, you did, dude. I'm yellow. I mean, we all know that. I think all the fans know that." And he's like, "Yeah, not today, bud. Kevin Stevens has the flu, so you're practicing with Gravy and Gretzky." And I'm just like, "Are you kidding me?" And he's laughing at me because he could see the glazed over look in my eyes. So now my heart is in my throat, and I'm like, "This is not good." This, like, I grew up idolizing Wayne Gretzky, and now I have the opportunity to practice with him, and it couldn't be more hungover. I'm probably still drunk. And now I'm thinking, what have I done to this is like a career-defining moment, right? Right when you're about to break through, maybe you do something stupid, go get drunk with your buddy, and now you're practicing with the greatest player that's ever played. So this is all going through my head as I'm trying to figure out how do I manage this whole situation, as far as like, okay, I need to get your head wrapped around this, get your body ready. You just got to get through this one practice. So I go into the shower, crank it on freezing cold, sitting there for like 10 minutes and figure out, like, should I tell Gretzky I'm hungover? First of all, does he even know who I am? Second of all, do I tell him I'm hungover, or do I just play it off like, okay, I'm just, that's how I always am? So I'm thinking, you know what? He's a dude. He's going to understand. Just man up and just tell him what's going on. So I walk over to him, like, "Hey, Wayne, I'm practicing with you today." He's like, "Yeah, I saw that." I'm like, "Yeah, I just want to let you know, I had a buddy in town. Things may have gone on a little bit later than I would have liked, and I'm, you know, just a slightly hungover. So if you don't mind, could you just keep the puck away from me and maybe, you know, just throw it over to Graves, and I'll just kind of bang in rebounds, and I'll do all the grunt work, and, you know, I'll survive this practice and hopefully not get cut." And he's like, "Prongs, don't worry about it. I've been there myself." And I'm like, yes, he knows my name. All right, he's on board. The greatest player in the game's on board. And all of a sudden, things started to lighten up for me. I just felt like, okay, we're going to get through this. Gretz is on board. I'm going to get out there. He's going to snap the puck around. I'll probably bang in a couple rebounds, maybe leave a good taste in the coach's mouth and be like, you know what? The Pronger kid looked pretty good today. And so now I'm thinking this is going to be my chance. So we get out for practice, and I'm skipping around the warm-up like I'm a 15-year all-star. I'm like just like the arrogance that I had as a fifth liner practicing with Gretzky was not, it's just embarrassing, but I'm just going with it. And so I'm just enjoying every moment, and I'm just like thinking, what if there's that small chance. You know, I remember reading an article that Gretzky once said that if you put a bunch of hockey players out on a pond, they're eventually going to find the players that they pair up with naturally. Just the way they each see, the way they pass, the way they see each other's blades, and they'll just find each other, like him and Jari Kurjedin. And I kept thinking about that article, and I was like, what if? I mean, I gave it about a 1% chance that that could happen, but I'm like, what if? What if we're out here? Because the Rangers at that time, we were kind of struggling. And so it wouldn't be out of, like, it would be completely plausible that if there was a ounce of chemistry, that they might give us at least a game. And so I thought, okay, what if? What if Gretzky and I have this natural, undeniable chemistry, and we get to play the next game, and let's say we win, maybe we do something good, and we get the next game, and the next game. And so this is all going through my head in warm-up of a f***ing practice. And so I'm like, all right, here we go. And so first, finally, Muckler blows a whistle. All right, we're going to warm up. We're doing the three-on-twos, like straight down, like kind of three-quarter ice, three-on-twos. I kept forgetting, like, I'm the first line, so I better get my shit together and be ready to go. So I'm like, all right, let's do this. And so I'm expecting Gretzky, hey, we had a deal. He's going to backhand this saucer pass over to Gravy. He'll either shoot it or shoot it, probably, as Adam Graves can. And so I'm not really even looking. Anyway, at the corner of my eye, I just see this, like, fluttering puck come flying over to me. I'm like, holy shit, he's passing it to me already? And it, you know, it was like a wounded duck, and it hits the back. I'm playing on my off wing because I'm left-handed shot playing the right side. It goes off my backhand and literally over the glass. And the whistle goes. He's like, all right, go again. So we do it again. He does the same thing. I don't think this one did not go over out of play, but whatever. I fumble it around. Anyway, that was just the sign of things to come, and every single pass Gretzky made was to me. Every one of them. And I barely survived that practice, and I skated over to him after. I'm like, Gratz, I'm so sorry. I don't know what to tell you. He's like, Prongs, don't worry about it. I've been there myself. And he gave me a wink. And I'm like, that, he was playing me the whole time. And I think that was actually better than if he wasn't, because it made me feel like I was part of the team, like I was close enough in the group that he could f*** with me like that, or he just didn't give a shit about me and just did it anyway. But it was, that's the Gretzky story. And I still think we would have had some great chemistry, but I guess the world will never know.
And some great storytelling by Sean Pronger. And thanks as always to Greg Hengler for getting us this great story. And sometimes big stories in life, well, they're just brushes with greatness and how greatness handles things. I mean, that Gretzky handled Pronger this way, teased him, meant, hey, you're one of the guys. It happens. Come on, let's get through this. Great storytelling, and Sean Pronger's stories are chronicled in his memoir, Journeyman, the many triumphs and even more numerous defeats of a guy who's seen just about everything in the game of hockey. By the way, Pronger now lives with his wife and two children in Orange County, California. By the way, send your stories in like this. We've all at some time or another maybe came up or brushed up against some people like this in our lives, and it's very counterintuitive to hear a star treat somebody who comes in drunk to practice like this in a gentle way, in a fun way. So send your stories, as always, to OurAmericanStories.com. Sean Pronger's story, I was Gretzky's hungover line mate, here on Our American Stories.
Hey, it's Bobby Bones. We had a great time recording this episode for you guys before heading to our iHeartRadio Music Festival in Las Vegas. Thanks to Hyundai for making this possible. Here's a little taste. Let's play the game where I list an artist and let's watch you sing one of their songs.
Yes.
Oh, boy, this is going to be
Black
tough.
Black Eyed Peas.
I got a feeling good. Tonight's going to be
okay, just
good,
stop.
Good
hey,
night.
Just stop. Stop while you're
ahead. Lionel Richie.
You're beautiful.
No, that's James Blunt. No.
Okay.
Okay.
Lionel Richie. Hello.
No, that's Adele from the other side. Oh,
similar-ish, but Lionel Richie was first. Pat Benatar. I'll give you the first word. Hit.
Hit me, baby, one more time.
Close. So close.
That's Britney Spears.
All
it is. This episode brought to you by the first ever fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5.
Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? Of course you would. And when it comes to great rates on insurance, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with homeowners or renters coverage. Plus, add an easy-to-use mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more, and Geico is an easy choice. Switch today and see all the ways you could save. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com or contact your local agent today.
Guys, are you getting up multiple times a night to use the bathroom? As we get older, so do our prostates, and that can mean urinary problems that affect our sleep and quality of life. Life is better outside the bathroom. Real Health's Prostate Complete can help you relieve those annoying and painful prostate symptoms. Available at Walmart or visit realhealth.com for more information and to order yours today. Try it risk-free with our 120-day money-back guarantee. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, or cure any disease.